This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending Friday, the 7th of November, 2025. Hello and welcome to this week's edition of the Hampshire Chronicle from the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper. I introduce our readers for this week, Deborah Cranmer.
Hello.
Richard Martin.
Hello.
Jackie Donnellan.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Peter Lydiard. So we begin with our usual regular notices. The first is to say if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with a recording you have received from us, please contact us on 01962 86 1229. That is 01962 86 1229, and this number can also be found on the key fob attached to your memory stick. As you listen to the recording, remember you can use the buttons on your box to move on from an item before it finishes, or back to any of the tracks if you want to listen again. For those of you with computers or tablets, apart from using the memory stick in the box provided, you can load it onto your own device. You can also access this recording through our website, www.winchestertalkingnews.com, and the recording is also available on Southampton Community Radio stations, Awaz Radio and Fiesta FM. So, we start with our usual headline stories. Deborah, what is your story, please?
And the first one is, historic water garden was lovingly restored. A historic water garden in Winchester has been maintained and carefully restored after years of neglect. The garden in Colebrook Street has been worked on since summer by Winchester resident John Airy, who dedicated hours to revitalising the space. The garden, originally envisaged by the late Peter Smithers, a former Winchester MP, had faced an uncertain future. However, with Mr. Airy's dedication, it now closely resembles the original vision. Mr. Airy, 70, from Kingsworthy, said, "What I wanted was a legacy, and I was looking for something in Winchester that could be protected and not built on. I wanted to do the garden as a theme of remembrance for Jane Austen and the fallen soldiers. Ultimately, I just wanted the public to be able to go in there, and we were days away from exchange before we discovered the Covenant, which halted any plans. I love the place, so does everyone in Winchester, and it needs to be enjoyed. At the beginning of summer, I started the work and spent about 200 hours in there. I think I cleaned out about 50 years' worth of silt." Mr. Airy doesn't own the garden. However, he takes pride in its upkeep and continues to fight to be able to make it a space for the public to enjoy, which includes the pruning of the magnolia tree, currently blocking the reflection of the cathedral on the pond, but unable to be touched. A 60-year-old covenant is in place for the area, restricting the use of the garden to the public. Mr. Airy fought to reverse this by applying to the council for an amendment, but was unsuccessful. Mr. Smithers, former Winchester MP from 1950 to 1964, created the water garden as a way to attract tourists, as the pool perfectly reflects the cathedral. The garden also has a classical statue underneath a magnolia tree and is located about 50 yards from the west end of the cathedral. Mr. Smithers served in the Second World War with author Ian Fleming, giving rise to suggestions that the character of James Bond may have been partly based on him. In 2020, the land went through uncertainty as former Hampshire UKIP leader Alan Stone proposed to develop a house on part of it. That sparked heavy criticism from residents, conservationists and historians. His application attracted more than 1,000 objections and was rejected by planners.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Anger at delivery firm as parcels go missing. Every under fire over spike in lost orders. An increasing number of Hampshire villages are seeing their parcels go missing or be lost in transit, despite a giant delivery company and police claiming they are taking urgent action. Evri has come under fire in recent months following a spike in missing parcels and company misconduct affecting residents of Broughton, Sutton Scotney, Swanmore, Twyford, Waltham Chase and further afield. The fiasco was first reported to police in late August following more than 200 complaints to the courier service from disgruntled residents who noticed a pattern of untraceable orders marked as delivered. Since then, Hampshire Constabulary has investigated, leading to the arrest of a man from Swindon for the theft of 98 parcels. However, over the last month, the investigation has hit a wall locally due to an alleged lack of evidence. This has prompted anger from local councillors and residents who are now calling for more action to be taken to prevent parcels from going missing without consequence. A police spokesperson said, "Officers have made a number of inquiries, both with the delivery company and relevant subcontractors, and with customers who'd reported issues. As part of our inquiries, a 31-year-old man from Swindon was arrested on suspicion of theft. He's since been released with no further action, due to there being insufficient evidence for a realistic prospect of prosecution. The reports were all investigated, and with no further proportionate lines of inquiry to follow, this matter is now being filed." Findings from the investigation have been handed to the delivery company for action. However, this later statement has only led to more anger. Councillor Susan Cook of Winchester City Council said that people were growing increasingly frustrated by the situation. She said she'd heard from scores of residents who were upset about not getting parcels or having the stress of trying to track them when incorrect delivery information is logged. She said, "I'm really frustrated. I'm not stopping at this point. It's completely wrong that the police are brushing this situation off and labelling it as fraud. It's much bigger than that. And they are doing a U-turn. It's disappointing for the recipients too, as they aren't the ones that should be losing out. Of course, there are some fantastic Evri drivers who do a great job. But Evri isn't sticking its head above the parapet. The police should be looking into this much more than they are, because it's grossly unfair to those affected." Most recently, Winchester witnessed an unexplained event in which 7 parcels were dumped in Tower Street. When the parcels tracking numbers were entered on the Evri website, the parcels were listed as delivered. Other community groups across the area have been flooded by posts from fed-up people searching for their parcels. Swanmore residents' Facebook page has repeatedly seen posts looking for information, as has Broughton's. Emily Van Noort, a Broughton resident, said, "Evri is driving residents to distraction with their lies and misleading claims. Images in that we delivered your parcel messages are either abstracts of grass, tarmac or unidentified doorways, or worse still, taken from Evri's own website. Our village email group is overrun by people desperately trying to track down missing parcels and has been for the past few weeks. The odd thing going astray is expected, but on this scale, it's far more than that. Personally, I'm on parcel number 4 missing. But multiply this across the village and it becomes something more sinister." The Chronicle has contacted Evri for comment. However, Evri said it was unable to help without specific tracking details for every missing parcel. Surprise, surprise. A spokesperson said, "We really want to be able to help these customers, but we can't do that without more information." At the time the Chronicle went to press, they were asking for more time to allow for further investigations to take place. However, for residents like Emily who are still waiting on deliveries, time has run out. She said it's driving everyone bonkers. Something needs to be done.
Thank you, Richard. Wow, what a story. Your headline story, please, Jackie.
Protest for let down children. Dozens of pairs of shoes were laid outside Hampshire County Council's headquarters to symbolise children who have been let down by what campaigners describe as a broken special educational needs and disabilities system. The symbolic protest took place across England, aiming to raise awareness of the growing crisis in support for children with additional needs. At the Winchester event, mother of three, Francesca from Whiteley, said she has been fighting for appropriate education for her two youngest daughters, aged 5 and 4, who are both autistic. She says her middle daughter was refused an education, health and care, that's EHC, needs assessment, a necessary step to obtain an EHCP, which I think is an education, health and care plan, by Hampshire County Council. According to Francesca, the council said there was insufficient evidence to show her daughter required specialist support, and her school claimed it could meet her needs, which Francesca claims they cannot. She has the ultimate school refusal, she said. She vomits, has night terrors, and suffers from sleep disorders. Since she started school, she's deteriorated massively, and they're not willing to help her. They like to blame it on other things. Because she has just started reception, they want to give her a little more time to settle in and see how she gets on, whereas that is just allowing her to fail. As a mum, I know that she is not going to thrive in school without an EHCP. Francesca applied for an EHCP in April. After an unsuccessful attempt at mediation, she has now been forced to take the matter to a tribunal. I don't think she will make it to Christmas in mainstream school, which is really sad. I'll probably need to pull her out, and she won't be getting any kind of education at all. The former NHS employee took a career break, but eventually had to resign to care for her children full time. I loved my job, but unfortunately, my children have additional needs and require much more care than others do. Unless you are a parent of a child with additional needs, you have no idea what we go through daily to fight for basic rights. She said the peaceful protest aimed to give a voice to every child failed by the education system and their local authority. And there's a photo of the dozens of pairs of shoes outside the Hampshire County Council offices. They've been laid under the trees in concentric semicircles.
Thank you, Jackie. My headline piece is titled, Hospital Plan Will Alleviate Pressure. Well, there you go. Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust has spoken out on plans for a new expansion to the Royal Hampshire County Hospital. This comes as the Trust submits an application to Winchester City Council to build an urgent treatment centre at the hospital in Romsey Road. A spokesperson from Hampshire Hospital said, "We are finalising a business case to secure capital funding to create an urgent treatment centre at our Winchester site. Plans to create this urgent treatment centre are being developed as we seek to alleviate pressure across our emergency department and treat patients requiring urgent but not life-threatening treatment more efficiently. An urgent treatment centre would help protect emergency department services for patients presenting with the most severe conditions. Currently, our Winchester Hospital is the only acute hospital across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight operating without an urgent treatment centre in place. These plans mean that we'll be able to deliver care in line with similar models already operational across the county, and most importantly, provide us with the facilities to provide outstanding care to even more patients living in our community." When asked about the UTC would affect the plans to build a new hospital in Basingstoke, the Hospital Trust said, "The urgent treatment centre is separate but complementary to and does not impact the work of the Hampshire Together new hospital programme. This facility would alleviate pressure across our emergency department and enable us to enhance our urgent and emergency care pathways to treat patients requiring urgent but not life-threatening treatment more efficiently in the immediate future." As previously reported, the plans for the expansion were submitted on the Trust's behalf by Studio 4 Architects. The planning statement says, In line with national guidance, strategic commissioning priorities and best practice, this scheme seeks to deliver a capital build that delivers a return to constitutional standards through additional capacity for relocated UTC at Royal Hampshire County Hospital. Unlike other parts of the system, UTC facilities are currently not available locally for people living in the catchment area of Winchester Hospital. The planning statement also says that the extension will be single-storey with element formed at sea level. It is capital C, sea level. I think it goes A, B, C, D at the hospital. Raised from the ground level within the courtyard. Right, this is the end of our headline stories, and as usual, we go into the death notices, starting with Deborah, please.
Yes, Coffin, Raymond John Coffin, known as Nobby, on the 14th of October, aged 80.
Diamond, Beryl Eva Diamond, peacefully on the 19th of October, aged 96.
Hillary, Tony John Hillary, peacefully at home on the 19th of October, aged 86.
Hillary, Peter Hillary, peacefully at home, 17th of October, aged 90.
Milner, Brian James Milner, peacefully at Winchester Hospice on the 17th of October, aged 95.
Primer, Raymond Primer, suddenly on the 14th of October.
Snooshel, Sydney Snooshel, peacefully on the 17th of October, aged 96.
Swain, Helen Chu Swain, peacefully at home, 24th of October.
Walsh, Elizabeth Hazel Walsh, on the 17th of October, aged 93.
Now we have a Christian comment read by Jackie, please.
And this week it's from the Reverend James Pitkin, entitled Looking Back and Remembering. This Sunday is Remembrance Sunday, when our communities come together to remember and make commitments for the future. As someone who has served in the forces, 20 years in the Royal Air Force, I am very familiar with the ceremonies of remembrance. It is always a painful time, remembering those who have died in the service of their community. It is a time to remember our own failures. We remember the fear that causes us to fail and the times when we've been unwilling to change our behaviour or lacked the courage to do what was right. We have failed others when they needed us to be brave or support them, and we have forgotten lessons learned by generations who braved danger for the sake of what was right. We have concentrated on what was unimportant and failed to see what really needed our attention. We have resisted change in our lives and in our actions because it was easier and safer to remain as we are. Every time I then join in with the commitment made at each war memorial on Remembrance Sunday, let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace? We will. Will you seek to heal the wounds of war? We will. Will you work for a just future for all humanity? We will. We do remember. We do seek to understand. We remember those who tried to make it so that we could grow up and live in peace. And that's by the Reverend James Pitkin, who's the Rural Dean of Romsey.
Thank you, Jackie. Now we go on to letters to the editor. Deborah, have the first letter, please.
Yes, the first one is entitled Spooky Night of Fun in Fairfield Road. The ever popular Halloween celebrations in Fairfield Road were a great success last night, notwithstanding the torrential rain. The highlight was the appearance of a real ghost walking down the street, says Tom Titchfield of Fairfield Road, Winchester. And the letter is accompanied by a photograph of Fairfield Road, and the camera's at one end of the road, and lots of people are rushing towards the camera. Of course, as they go past, they're out of focus and looking like ghosts.
Well, they might have been real ghosts, you don't know. Let's not make a judgment.
Richard, please.
Swift update comes from Catherine Gale of Hampshire Swifts. Highcliffe is one of the areas of Winchester that we survey for nesting swifts every year. This suburb is made up of two large areas of housing built by Winchester City Council for rent, much of it terraced. As in so many urban areas, opportunities for cavity nesting birds such as swifts, house sparrows or starlings to breed in gaps or crevices in buildings have drastically diminished here as houses have been renovated, re-roofed or had UPVC soffits and fascias installed. After discovering in 2018 that nest sites in Winchester City Council's Highcliffe houses were being lost in this way, we came to an agreement with the council that all tenants should be offered a swift box when work was carried out. This arrangement, along with interest from other residents in helping swifts, has so far resulted in 128 swift boxes being installed. Every summer since 2020, we have surveyed Highcliffe to assess how many of these boxes are being used by swifts. Since regular surveying began in 2020, the number of swift pairs occupying boxes has risen every year. 2025 is no exception, with an increase in the number of swift pairs nesting in boxes of just under 40% since 2024. Numbers have risen from 14 pairs of swifts in 2020 to 60 in 2025. The majority of Highcliffe swifts nest in boxes in two roads, Portal Road and Gordon Avenue. Of the 38 swift boxes in Portal Road, 23 had swifts nesting in them this summer. Of the 48 swift boxes in Gordon Avenue, 29 were occupied by swifts. The large number of nesting swifts in both roads meant that many younger, non-breeding swifts were attracted to those areas, resulted in very large parties of screaming swifts hurtling over rooftops, particularly on fine evenings. It was a thrilling spectacle. Although most swifts currently nest in the boxes in Portal Road and Gordon Avenue, this year there were four pairs occupying nest boxes in Milland Road, one pair in St Catherine's Road and one pair in Nelson Road. Swifts have also started colonising the boxes in Vale Road, with two of the eight boxes occupied this summer for what we think is the first time. There are a few roads in Highcliffe where only one or two swift boxes have been installed. These more isolated boxes are taking far longer to be adopted by swifts than the others. One swift box in Portal Road was installed on January 31st, and by early June, swifts were seen nesting in it. The yearly increase in the number of swift pairs occupying boxes in these two hotspots in Highcliffe is partly due to the number of boxes available, but also to the fact that the presence of other swifts is a powerful attractant. If anyone living in Highcliffe would like to help swifts and house sparrows by having a box installed in their house, please email us at info@hampshireswifts.co.uk. We're grateful to our long-standing Highcliffe surveyors, Rachel Hardy, Caroline Hall and Rachel Remnant for their help, and to new surveyors this year, and Amanda Marshall and Chris Collins Lawn. We also thank Winchester City Council for the funding the boxes fitted to their council housing stock. Catherine Gale, Hampshire Swifts.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
This letter from Andrew Rutter is entitled Future. What is our future to be? We have remembered those killed in the First and Second World Wars with red poppies, a tradition. To those we added white poppies to remember all the civilians, innocent mothers and children, who far exceed the combatants due to the use of modern weapons. If we continue down this path of destruction due to wars, the increasing disasters like floods, fires, buildings and trees will become unsustainable. Wars are getting more expensive. Those responsible for the national budget find the cash for this expenditure. Security is the highest priority of any government. When I was growing up, there was a saying, money is the source of all evil. This may not be true, but we need to think radically about these things before it is too late. Andrew Rutter, St John's Wood, Winchester.
Thank you, Jackie. My letter is written by Andrew William Kent. It's headed Rides to Remember. Last year, we hosted a 72-hour marathon cycle ride, filling all 144 ride slots on a single Z Swift bike here in the Critters Inn, Easton, raising £3,500 for the Royal British Legion. We're delighted to confirm that the Ride to Remembrance is back, bigger and braver. This year, we are going further, starting at 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November the 5th. We'll keep the wheels turning in a 96-hour continuous relay to raise funds for the Poppy Appeal. When the wheels stop at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, riders and supporters will walk to the church to observe the two-minute silence at 11 a.m. in memory of those who have served. We hope to raise £5,000. Get involved in the cricket season. Get involved in the cricket season. .co.uk/ride to remembrance or donate.giving/page/ride to remembrance?UTM. That was written by Andrew Gwilym Kent of the Cricketers Eastern. Deborah, please.
And the next letter is from Aaron Watson, entitled Poor Lighting. The LED streetlights in Lower Brook Street and at the rear of the car park by Iceland is dangerous. People cannot see properly. This area is so dark, even with the so-called LED street lamps. They seemingly have no effect on the roads or the pavements for the people to be able to see where they're going. My partner has broken her ankle and had to wear a cast on her foot for 3 months, all because the councils are inept at putting in lighting around the area to make it safe and lit up enough for the people in the area at the lower end of town to see where they're going. It's common knowledge that LED street lamps may well be cost effective, but they have a horrible, nasty way of confusing the eyes. I have noticed some areas still have the orange illumination. So can we have a large discussion on why LED lighting is so bad for lighting up the roads and pathways? Whoever installed this concept of cheaper fad lighting needs to be held to account. In my view, LED lighting is unnecessary, unwanted, and does not make the roads or public highways safer. Aaron Watson, Lower Brook Street, Winchester.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
And another complaint here from Luke Jordan about the A34 roadworks. I imagine he won't be on his own. I sat in a one-hour delay in traffic on the A34 at the weekend. Signs suggested roadworks and one lane closed both north and southbound. However, there were no road workings going on. No machinery or workers. The lanes that were closed were just coned off for no reason. Luke Jordan, Andover.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
I have Pause to Remember, written by Mark Rowe. This Remembrance Sunday, I will be thinking, like many, of those who sacrificed themselves for our freedom. Like everyone, I will be wearing my poppy with pride. Also, I ask people to respect those who wear different coloured poppies as well. Plus, if they can observe the 1 minute silence in respect and remember all those who have fallen and help where they can, veterans in daily life. God bless the King and our veterans who have always made a difference. And that's from Mark Rowe, Taplings Close Week.
Thank you, Jackie. Deborah, could you read the next letter, please?
Yes, this one's entitled Community Poppy Effort and it's written by Katie Seabrook. Please go and see the fantastic Remembrance Sunday display at the Cricketers Arms, Fair Oak. The poppies were all individually cut from felt by hand and threaded with buttons and attached by staff and customers. It was a massive community effort. It was made for last year for the service at the memorial and has been reinstated for this year. Katie Seabrook, Fair Oak.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Katie Hamilton asks, can you help? I'm writing on behalf of New Leaf Together CIC, a community interest company based in Winchester that supports children and young people with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND. To access the community, develop life skills and build independence in a safe and nurturing environment. We currently run inclusive sessions and holiday clubs that are tailored to the needs of SEND participants, offering sensory play, creative activities and opportunities for social connection in spaces where young people feel safe, understood and celebrated. Many of the families we support face barriers to accessing mainstream services, and our work helps bridge that gap with warmth, creativity and consistency. We're now looking to expand our provision by launching day services, a natural next step that would allow us to offer more structured, meaningful experiences throughout the week. Crucially, this would also provide much-needed respite for parents and carers, many of whom carry significant responsibilities and rarely have access to reliable SEND-aware support. Our vision is to create a space where young people with special educational needs can engage in enriching experiences that support emotional well-being, practical skill building and independence, experiences they would otherwise struggle to access. Specifically, we hope to establish an outdoor sensory area designed for messy play, relaxation and reflection, a small plot for growing and tending plants and vegetables, offering hands-on learning about nature and food cultivation, a flexible space to host inclusive activities that nurture confidence, resilience and independence, tailored to the needs of those participants. And to make this viable, the site would need to have readily available access to mains utilities, or the possibility of easily connecting them. Ideally, we're looking for a long-term arrangement that allows us to build consistency and stability for the young people and families we support, many of whom rely on routine and predictability to thrive. If you already have a building or structure on your land that might be suitable, even with some adaptation, we'd be very open to exploring how it could work. Our aim is to create a safe, inclusive environment, and we're happy to be flexible in how we achieve that. Whether it's a disused outbuilding, a corner of a barn, or a space that could be repurposed, we'd love to chat about the possibilities. As a not-for-profit organisation, we would need to discuss a suitable payment or lease arrangement. We would, of course, wish to make a fair contribution, but if you were open to accepting a token or reduced payment in recognition of the community benefit, this would help us to make the project sustainable. Your support would directly enable young people with special needs to access opportunities for growth and independence that are often out of reach. We also want to reassure you that we would take full responsibility for maintaining the space to a high standard and ensuring it remains well cared for throughout our use. Your support would make a meaningful difference in the lives and local young people and their families. That's from Katie Hamilton, Managing Director of New Leaf Together Community, what's it called? Community Interest Company. And you can get her at manager@newleaftogether.org or on 07342 779 157.
Thank you, Richard. Now, if you have an opinion or a subject you'd like to air in the Hampshire Chronicle, you can contact them on 01962 860836. That is 01962 860836. Or you can email them on news@hampshirechronicle.co.uk, or you can write to the letter, so to the editor, at 5 Upper Brook Street, Winchester, SO23 8AL. Right, so we now move on to editorial comment read by Richard, please.
Why we should care about parcel theft. The joy of online shopping is increasingly being overshadowed by a growing concern, parcel theft and unreliable delivery services. At the heart of this issue, one delivery company's name seems to crop up more than others. Community Facebook groups are alive with posts of people searching for random addresses only seen in snapshot photos or messages such as, "Anyone know who the Avery driver is?" It's no surprise then that Evri, the courier company formerly known as Hermes, has once again been named the UK's worst delivery firm for the third year running. It seems that even with a rebranding exercise and a new name, this firm has not been able to get to the root of the problem. Despite handling nearly a quarter of all UK parcels, Evri continues to face widespread criticism for missing deliveries, parcels dumped in inappropriate locations, and poor customer service. In Wichita alone, residents have reported parcels being left in the street or marked as delivered when they clearly weren't. Hampshire police have launched investigations into thefts linked to the Evri deliveries. With Christmas looming, the stakes are higher than ever. Families are relying on timely deliveries for gifts, essentials and festive cheer. Yet Evri has admitted it expects to fail to deliver 22,000 parcels every single day.
Wow.
That's not just a logistical hiccup. It's a breach of trust. The problem isn't just volume. Whistleblowers have revealed systemic issues. Low pay, minimal training, and even previously suspended couriers returning under new identities. Small businesses are pulling contracts, fearing reputational damage and financial loss. Evri claims to be investing millions in technology and infrastructure, but customer satisfaction remains dismal. In an era when online shopping is the norm, we deserve better. Parcel delivery should be reliable, secure, and respectful of our homes and communities.
Thank you, Richard. Now I'm going to read the opinion piece, which this week is written by Khalid Aziz, and is headed "Landlords Reach for Paracetamol." If you listen carefully, you might just hear a faint groan, a sort of low-level rumble, somewhere between a distant foghorn and a weary sigh. It's the sound of landlords sighing over the government's shiny new Renters' Rights Act 2025 and wondering if it's too late to take up beekeeping. Full disclosure, I am a beekeeper and a landlord. The government insists that this is the biggest shake-up of landlord and tenant law since the invention of the mortgage. Tenants, they say, will now enjoy security, fairness, stability. Sounds marvellous. Rather like the promised growth that every train leaving Waterloo will arrive on time. My Rackman journey started out by chance. Having bought my mother a flat in Winchester in which she lived happily in for several years, rather than sell it on her demise, we decided to rent it out. For over 20 years, it has been empty only when we needed a week or so to update and redecorate. Our tenants have been exemplary, as I believe we have two, instantly responding to any equipment failures. The only complaint is that far from us not offering security of tenure, our tenants tend to move on after a year or two. Every time this means significant fees paid to agents to find and check out new tenants. All in all, return on capital has been a mere 3%. Ah yes, I hear you say, but what about the capital gains? Well, it's true the property has seen significant gain in value. However, when we first started, we could deduct all sorts of improvement costs, and there were also indexation to account for inflation. Successive rapacious governments stopped all that in order to feed the ever-widening maw of public spending. The most eye-catching element in the new legislation is the abolition of the no-fault evictions. In future, a landlord can't simply hand you a letter saying, out you go. They'll need an actual reason to evict you, usually arrears or damage. Apparently some landlords, including recently one government minister, have been using no-fault to get rid of existing tenants, jack up the rent in a market crippled by lack of supply, and get in new tenants keen to pay more. One dismayed local property owner told me the new law is like lending someone your car and discovering you now have to apply in writing to get it back. Hard cases make bad law. Politicians glibly laud the new eviction rules. It all sounds so easy. In practice, it will take nearly a year to get someone out, and if they've not paid their rent, good luck with reclaiming the arrears. One Hampshire letting agent told me that they were reviewing operational frameworks, which roughly translates as, we haven't the faintest idea how it will pan out. There's also a new rule about rent increases, only one per year, and tenants can challenge them if they seem unreasonable. Cue landlords scurrying for their calculators and tenants googling how to make your landlords to a tribunal without losing your deposit. The theory is sound, fairness, predictability and fewer shock rises, but it might also lead to some wonderful courtroom drama. Perhaps we'll see judges in Winchester solemnly declaring that £1,400 for a one bedroom with no heating and a view of the bins is excessive. So the government attempts to look heroic. Landlords will get a longer list of hoops to jump through, and letting agents are already designing new admin fees to make it worth their while. Some landlords will sell up, others will soldier on. The rental market will adjust, wobble, and eventually, like a badly hung shelf, find its level. What's clear is that there will be fewer flats available for rent. So who is really going to benefit? Well, I'm off to see my bees. Come spring, they'll evict themselves, and I may get some honey. Right, now we move on to Belgarum, which gives an alternative look at the news, starting with Deborah, please.
And the article is entitled Student-Led Eco-Mag is a Hit. A student-led environmental publication is making waves across the UK. The Green Cloister, which began in Winchester, is now the largest pre-university student-led environmental publication in the country, and aims to inspire climate action through writing, collaboration and community outreach. It was founded in 2021 by students Jason Chang, 17, and Yensen Kwong, aged 18, who moved to Winchester from Hong Kong, aged 13. They created the platform in response to what they saw as a lack of environmental awareness and action amongst their peers. Mr. Chang said, "After we finished coding the site in 2021, we spent the first few months as the only two writers. But through relentless student outreach and teamwork, fueled by the shared belief in the power of student voices, the Green Cloister grew into a platform for over 152 young students in Hampshire to write, innovate, and lead in the environment. The Green Cloister quickly expanded beyond Winchester, uniting 152 student writers from four schools across Hampshire. To date, the publication has released more than 670 articles and reached a readership of 50,000. To learn more or contribute to the publication, visit thegreencloister.com.
Thank you, Deborah. Jackie, you've got the second Belgarum piece, please.
Yeah. Panto stars meet at Theatre Royal. Theatre Royal Winchester will host this year's family pantomime, Puss in Boots. The cast, including Julian Eardley as Dame Dolly Duster, Becca Selina as Puss, and Emma Fenney as Fluella Frostbite, met at the theatre last week. This year marks Mr. Eardley's 16th pantomime at the venue. The show's writer and director, Robin Belfield, was also present as they toured the dressing rooms they will use during the pantomime's five-week run, beginning on November the 29th and ending on January the 4th. Emma Fenney said, "It's lovely because it's the one time of the year that families come to the theatre together." And you can get more info and tickets, I guess, at theatreroyalwinchester.co.uk.
Thank you. Now we come to what's on in the area in the near future, starting with a piece from Richard, please.
This is about a concert for togetherness. A festive carol concert will bring the community together in support of older people. The Brendan Care Foundation's annual Christmas concert will take place on Sunday, December the 14th at Winchester College Chapel, featuring a programme titled A Christmas Proclamation, performed by the Winchester Consort. Michael Crutchley, Chief Executive of Brendan Care, said, "We're incredibly grateful to everyone who makes this event possible and to all who continue to support our work throughout the year. The evening will include Andrew Lumsden's arrangement of Silent Night and John Rutter's Nativity Carol. Proceeds from the concert will support services for older people, including in-person and online clubs, as well as digital and telephone support. The Winchester Consort has supported this concert since 2012. Steve Dean said, "Christmas performances are always a highlight for the singers, and singing in Winchester College Chapel, working with exceptional directors and organists, and performing to packed and appreciative audience always creates such a wonderful atmosphere. Tickets are available on the Brendan Care Foundation website or by calling 01962 852 133.
Thank you, Richard. Now, some bits and pieces that are coming up in the near future. Sunday, the 9th of November, there is Dear Lol, A Wartime Marriage in Letters. That is at the Theatre Royal, Winchester. On Monday, the 10th of November, the National Theatre Live, Mrs. Warren's Profession. That is also at the Theatre Royal, Winchester. Tuesday, the 11th, Winchester Film Society are presenting Vermiglio, and they do that at the Winchester Science Centre and Planetarium. Saturday the 15th of November is the Oaken Choir Workshop, and that is at the United Church in Jewry Street, Winchester. Sunday the 16th, there's a Christmas Carol, a radio play, live on stage. That is at the Winchester Theatre Royal. Also on Sunday the 16th, there is Made with Love Makers Market. That is at the Worthies Sport and Social Club. Saturday the 22nd, Oslebury Christmas Arts and Craft Fair. That will be at Oslebury Village Hall. Saturday the 29th of November, Christmas Wreath Making Workshop. That is at the Hospital of St Cross in Winchester. And finally, Wednesday the 3rd of December, Christmas at Abbey House, a guided tour. Well, before we go on to items of general news, let's have a look at the lighting up times for the coming week. The sun, if there is any, will rise at about 7:10 a.m. and set again at around 4:30 p.m. So let's go on to the items of general news. Deborah, have your first article, please.
And the first article is Ambulance to Partner with Neighbouring Service Group. Hampshire's Ambulance Service is joining forces with a neighbouring service, South Central Ambulance Service, and South East Coast Ambulance Service will form the South Central and South East Ambulance Group. The new partnership aims to deliver more reliable and high-quality emergency care through greater collaboration and shared expertise. Both trusts will continue to operate independently, but will collaborate on key priorities such as digital innovation, clinical best practice, and workforce development. They will also share leadership with a single chief executive and chair overseeing both trusts to support strategic alignment. David Eltringham, chief executive of South Central Ambulance Service, said, "This is about levelling up care for every patient in the South East. Demand on our services is rising, and this model gives us the ability to respond more consistently, use our resources more effectively, and make sure patients receive the same high standards of care wherever they live. Patients are expected to benefit from more consistent clinical pathways, reduced variation in care, and improved outcomes. The group will also focus on care navigation to reduce unnecessary visits to emergency departments, helping patients access the right treatment quickly and safely.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Parcel post powered by the sun. New and futuristic post boxes are beginning to appear around Hampshire after Royal Mail announced its big redesign. In August, Royal Mail announced that they would be changing the iconic pillar boxes to a more future-facing design, allowing the postage of small parcels through the use of solar power. Across the UK, the mail company has begun to roll out the 3,500 new post boxes, with some already appearing in Swanmore. Post boxes in St Cross, Hairstock and Oliver's Battery are also set to be transformed. The idea was introduced as a way of keeping up with growing competition and demand within the delivery sector. The design includes solar panels at the top of the boxes, which activate the parcel drawer, allowing customers to deposit small parcels, as well as a barcode scanner, which opens a drop-down drawer to accommodate larger parcels.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
12,000 fines issued for misuse of blue badges. More than 12,000 fines for blue badge parking misuse has been issued by Hampshire County Council over the past 5 years. The fines totaled more than £380,000, according to figures released through a Freedom of Information request. The request showed a steady rise in the number of fines issued each of the past 5 years. In 2020, the council issued 749 fines worth £21,175. This almost doubled in 2021, with 1,369 fines amounting to £45,115. By 2023, the number had risen sharply to 3,060 fines, valued at £93,465. Last year saw the biggest increase, with 5,418 fines issued, worth £170,044. Between 2020 and 2024, the council issued a total of 12,010 fines for misuse of disabled parking spaces, with a combined value of £380,522. A spokesperson for Hampshire County Council said the rise in fines reflects a major expansion of the council's parking enforcement responsibilities. Between 2020 and 2023, the County Council gradually took over responsibility for on-street parking enforcement across the whole county. Previously, enforcement was carried out by district and borough councils across the county. However, by autumn 2023, the County Council covered all 11 districts, compared to just 4 in 2020. The spokesperson said, "This broader coverage has naturally led to a higher number of infringements being identified and fined."
Thank you, Jackie. My piece is headed, "First Bricks Laid at Village Homes Site." Councillors have visited affordable housing being built in a village near Winchester. Parish and City Councillors visited Wickham Fields in Twyford, where 10 of the 22 homes under construction are of an affordable tenure, with these homes being built on behalf of Winchester City Council. These 10 properties have been earmarked by the council for those who are already living in the village or surrounding area, and mirror the design approach seen in the open market homes available within the site, 5 of which have already been reserved. Planning Director Chris Rees, speaking on Thursday, October the 30th, said, "We are very pleased to be building a variety of housing within Twyford, having worked closely with the National Park Authority, Twyford Parish Council and Winchester City Council New Homes team to realise the delivery of Wickham's Fields. In time, I'm confident that it will provide an excellent demonstration of how a range of housing tenures can be designed and delivered using the same high quality materials, and design ethos to create an exciting new community. Parish Councillor Chris Corcoran said, "We are proud and delighted to see the start of these affordable homes in the centre of the village. Affordable housing is a central objective of the parish, to provide homes for local people who have deep roots in Twyford and would otherwise have to leave the village. We're particularly pleased to have secured this housing close to local amenities and as part of our mixed development. Our congratulations and thanks go to all parties, including the landowners, the Wickham family, and of course the people of Twyford who have supported the project." Leader of the City Council, Councillor Martin Todd, said, "It was great to meet the team from Alfred Homes and, together with Councillor Chris Corcoran from the Parish Council, lay the first brick for one of the new council homes that would be built on the site. This is such a carefully thought through and planned development. It won't just be providing attractive and much needed new homes, market and council, but is also part of improving facilities and flood prevention in the village. The City Council aims to provide 1,000 new council homes across the district by 2032. Deborah, please.
Busy MP solves 10,000 problems. Winchester's MP has helped residents with problems more than 10,000 times. Liberal Democrat MP Mr. Danny Chambers has surpassed the milestone, assisting residents with issues such as healthcare, housing, education, immigration and SEND support. Dr. Chambers said, "When I was first elected, I promised to do politics differently, by really listening to my constituents, working hard for them, and doing everything I could to make a difference directly in people's lives. I believe that's the most important part of an MP's job, and it's central to my plan for the years ahead. One of the most rewarding parts of the job is helping people in Winchester with their problems. However, I couldn't have done this without the help of my brilliant and hard-working team. They've really hit the ground running, and I find their dedication to our community truly inspiring. I also work with our councillors and volunteers from across the area who are also supporting residents when they need help." Dr. Chambers highlighted how he and his team support people facing various challenges weekly, like those in mental health crisis, struggling with a visa or housing issues, and finding the cost of living difficult. Amongst those he has helped is Scott Willoughby, a former HM Prison Service employee who was initially denied his service medal despite decades of service. Mr. Willoughby said, "Without Danny's help, I don't think I would ever have received my medal and recognition. I wish all the staff currently in the prison service the very best and hope that they too get the recognition they deserve for what is a very difficult and demanding job." Ali Lacey, who sought help for her 93-year-old mother with dementia, also praised Dr. Chambers. She said, "Without the help of Danny, I would have given up trying to seek the support my mother needed and deserved at the age of 93 and with dementia. It's been an incredibly stressful time, but with Danny's support, in writing letters and backing up our case, we finally have a resolution." Dr. Chambers remains committed to his role, encouraging people to continue reaching out for support. He said, "If you're a Winchester constituent and there is anything you think my team or I can help you with, then please do get in touch and we'll help you in every way we can." And people can contact him for his assistance via his email at danny.chambers.mp@parliament.uk.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
New rules on sleeping rough. Changes to the way Winchester City Council tackles homelessness and rough sleeping have been approved. The Housing Cabinet Committee agreed on a new strategy to prevent people sleeping rough, both in the city and the wider district, on Tuesday, November the 4th. According to the report, which covers the strategy, It responds to both local needs and national policy, including the government's approach to ensure rough sleeping is rare, brief, non-recurring, and to prevent homelessness wherever possible. The strategy will see the council working closely with homelessness services Trinity, Emmaus, and the Winchester Beacon on a holistic prevention-first approach, with the council's vision seeing the services working together to ensure that everyone at risk of homelessness has early and effective access to the right support, and where homelessness cannot be prevented, ensuring a safe, suitable and sustainable home is secured as quickly as possible. Addressing the meeting, Sue McKenna, Chief Executive at Trinity, said that the charity supports the Preventing Homelessness strategy. The committee voted to adopt the new strategy.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Charity gets a rebrand. A Winchester charity has changed its name as it undergoes a rebrand. Winchester Basics Bank has been renamed to Winchester Food and Basics Bank in an effort to make the organisation's purpose clearer and more approachable. The organisation has been providing emergency food and essentials to individuals and families in need across Winchester and the surrounding area for more than 20 years. Leona Manny, one of the food bank's trustees, said, "We want people to feel comfortable reaching out to us when they need help, and we believe the new name makes it much clearer in what we provide." Winchester Food and Basics Bank is also hoping the new identity will encourage more residents to get involved, whether by donating food, volunteering, or spreading the word. Angus Kirk, operations manager, said, "Our work is only possible thanks to the generosity of the local community. We hope this new chapter inspires even more people to support us." Winchester Food and Basics Bank will continue operating from its usual hubs, including a new hub at Badger Farm Community Centre, with services unchanged. The charity is inviting local people to learn more about their service and how they can help at the website, which is winchesterbasicsbank.co.uk.
Thank you, Jackie. My piece is headed Six-Figure Salaries on Offer for New Top Officers. The search is on for senior officers who will play a key role in the creation of a new regional authority. Six-figure salaries are being offered for the Chief Executive Officer, Chief Finance Officer and Monitoring Officer posts in Hampshire and the Solent Combined County Authority. Under the government's accelerated devolution programme, the new organisation will have funding and powers transferred down from Westminster. As with councils, the combined county authority has three statutory officer roles which need to be filled. All three jobs are being offered on an initial 12-month basis in the form of fixed-term contracts or secondments. The salaries listed are up to £180,000 for the Chief Executive Officer, up to £150,000 for the Chief Finance Officer, and up to £100,000 for the Monitoring Officer. Earlier this year, Southampton City Council's job advert for a new Chief Executive was offering a salary range of £172,719 to £204,736, while a listing to fill the top officer job at Hampshire County Council had an indicated salary of £250,000. The combined county authority job advert says the roles will operate on a hybrid work pattern, with approximately 3 days per week in an office location and 2 days per week at home. The recruitment process will be completed by Friday, November the 14th, before in-person panel interviews are currently due to take place on Wednesday, December the 3rd. The closing date for applications is Monday, November the 3rd. Ah, well, that's gone. I shan't be pretty much.
Oh, damn.
Deborah, please.
I've got a photograph here of Alsford Station and a steam train at night, and all lit up with lots of fairy lights, looking very jolly. And the article beside it is entitled "Dazzling Steam Train Set to be Illuminating." A steam railway is gearing up to dazzle passengers with festive journeys this Christmas. The Watercress line will once again light up the season with its steam illuminations, a colourful and immersive rail experience running from November the 28th to December the 28th. Rebecca Daly, CEO of the Watercress line, said, "Christmas is a truly special time at the Watercress line, and this year we're thrilled to offer our much-loved festive experiences to make marvellous memories for all the family. Whether you're joining us for the magical Father Christmas Express, stepping on board the dazzling steam illuminations, or treating yourself to a festive countryman lunch or afternoon tea, we can't wait to welcome our visitors this Christmas. This year's steam illuminations promises an even bigger and brighter display, featuring thousands of synchronised LED lights and immersive sound. The train will transform into a moving spectacle of colour and music, with live entertainment, enhanced lighting and onboard fun, hosted by VoiceOver Man. Passengers receive a complimentary LED wristband to fully immerse themselves in the show, becoming part of the glowing journey through the Hampshire countryside. New for 2025 are live entertainers on board to help set the festive mood. Returning favourites include Snow Cascade and the Talking and Singing Christmas Trees. Following the Christmas run, the Pop Anthems Party Train will take over from December the 29th to January the 4th. In addition to the illuminated trains, the Watercress line is offering other seasonal experiences. The Festive Countryman is a three-course lunch served in a first-class carriage available on November the 27th, December the 3rd and December the 10th. The menu features roast turkey, luxury Christmas pudding and other seasonal options. Guests can enjoy coffee or tea with mince and a mince pie as the train travels through the scenic countryside. For a lighter option, the festive afternoon tea is also available on these dates. Served in heritage carriages, the afternoon tea includes a savoury and sweet treats, drinks and a complimentary glass of Christmas punch. The Father Christmas Express, another popular attraction, is already fully booked, but tickets for all other experiences are available now, with early booking recommended.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
On a rather more mundane note, hosepipe ban is now lifted. A hosepipe ban in place since July has been lifted following months of restrictions, not to mention rain. The ban across Hampshire and the Isle of Wight was introduced to ease the strain on the test and itching and ensure households had running water during a dry spell. After more than 3 months, Southern Water has removed the ban, thanking residents for their support in conserving millions of litres daily. Tim McMahon, Director of Water for Southern Water, said, "We're incredibly grateful to our customers for their support and understanding during this challenging time. By working together, we've not only saved millions of litres of water each day, but also helped protect our precious chalk streams." The ban's impact was further bolstered by the efforts of Southern Water's leakage team, who identified and repaired about 1,700 leaks during the restriction, saving over 17 million litres of water. The test and itching, vital sources of drinking water for most customers of Hampshire and the Isle of Wight, are also habitats for rare wildlife and delicate ecosystems. Reducing water abstraction from these rivers during the dry period was crucial for their protection. Looking ahead, Southern Water is committed to strengthening the future water supply through significant investments like exploring alternative water resources. And not
damage. Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Well, begin by saying anyone who's seen the film Hot Fuzz will know there's a very funny scene where the village police officers have to chase a missing swan. And the reason I say that is because the title of this is Hot Fuzz Moment for County's Cops. It was a real hot fuzz moment for Hampshire Police after they rescued a swan from the motorway near Winchester. Officers were called to the scene at 2:15 p.m. on Wednesday, October the 29th, to report that a swan had landed on the M3. It was on the hard shoulder of the M3 northbound, just before Winchester services. Officers were relieved to find that it was just the one swan, actually, before safely capturing it and taking it to a Mildmay vet to be checked over before it was released into the River Itchen at Abbey Gardens. A post on the Hampshire and Isle of Wight Roads Policing Facebook page said, "Every day in roads policing is different, and no two jobs are the same. Today, E-shift officers finished dealing with a two-vehicle serious road traffic collision in Basingstoke to respond to multiple reports from members of the public of swans causing issues for road users on the M3 today. Hitting one of these at 70 miles an hour could considerably damage your vehicle and cause further collisions, endangering lives. Therefore, it is a safety issue we must deal with." Officers were relieved to find that it was just the one swan, actually. "I'm glad to report there were no collisions and the swan and officer has been safely transported off the motorway. The swan has been checked over at a nearby vet's and returned to the river." Mildmay practice manager Sam McLaughlin said, "It was very unusual. Swans do land on roads and we do see them occasionally. They think the tarmac is water." Clinical director Nikki Hode checked it over. "It was fit and healthy, with no landing injuries. We do get a lot of wildlife, and we always do our best to look after them, although we are not a wildlife service." The police officers nicknamed the bird Craig and returned him to the river near King Alfred's statue. And there are some great photos to go with this piece. There's a police officer holding the swan under his arm, cradling his neck with one hand and holding the swan with the other, and the swan is all swaddled up in a police high-vis jacket. And then there's another picture of the swan still swaddled in his high-vis jacket with a sort of strap round him. So the police officer is carrying him a bit like a handbag and cradling his head as he takes him into Mildmay vets.
Perhaps all swans should have high-vis jackets when they We should follow that up. Right, not-for-profit Market Garden welcomes steady growth. A long, sun-filled summer has resulted in an abundance of vegetables and fruit across Hampshire, and one local not-for-profit is helping ensure that the surplus is enjoyed in homes across the county. Hampshire Market Garden, which runs the Veg Box scheme, said it has seen a steady growth this year as more households choose to buy seasonal produce directly from local growers. The weekly boxes offer a variety of produce from greens to late summer fruit, whilst also supporting the organisation's aim of protecting and restoring the county's soils. The organisation runs two market gardens at Lockley and Hambledon, where regenerative practices are used to maintain soil health. Besides fruit and vegetables, customers can also find locally sourced flour, bread, baked goods, milk, eggs and store cupboard essentials. Hampshire Market Garden's soil man and TEDx speaker Chris Huskin said, "Our boxes are full of flavour this season, but the real story lies beneath our feet. Healthy soil is the key to food security, biodiversity, and tackling climate change. Every time someone chooses local produce, they're backing the land that sustains us all." Deborah, please.
An animal welfare team has been commended for its dedication, compassion and innovation by retaining its pair of RSPCA awards. The animal welfare team at Winchester City Council has retained its elite pair of RSPCA awards for the third consecutive year. The Animal Protection Charity has awarded Platinum Paw Print Awards to the Council for both stray dog services and for animal activity licensing. The City Council is one of only seven councils in England and Wales to have achieved platinum status for animal activity licensing. Councillor Steve Cramisan, Winchester City Council's Cabinet Member for Recycling and Public Protection, said, We are so proud of our dedicated and hard-working team and its continued excellent work, work which has been rightly recognised by this pair of paw prints. The 2025 judging criteria ask for even higher standards, and the fact that our team still won demonstrates our team remains among the very best in the whole country.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
New carved head installed at Cathedral. A new carved label stop of Bishop Curl's head has been crafted and installed at Winchester Cathedral. The project, which took 2 years, was completed on Thursday, October the 30th. Cathedral head stonemason Ross Lovett began modelling the design in clay 2 years ago, using oil paintings of the bishop as reference. Mr. Lovett said, "We had to replace the old label stop, which had weathered away. We don't know who it was, or who was first featured on the stone. It may have been Bishop Curl himself, but regardless, it was suggested that Curl would be a fitting choice for the new label stop. Bishop Curl was the Bishop of Winchester between 1632 and 1645. He commissioned the first public archway, now known as Bishop Curl's Passage, and the label stop is part of the decorative moulding around the external window in the passage. Its purpose is to throw off rainwater and traditionally ends in a label stop, often with a carved label stop stone."
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Council's new grants policy. A new policy has been put in place for the provision of grants to support disabled people in their homes. Winchester City Council's Housing Cabinet Committee agreed the Disabled Facilities Grant Policy for 2025 to 2030 on Tuesday, November the 4th. The grant, provided under the Housing Grants Construction and Regeneration Act 1996, which aims to support eligible disabled individuals to live safely and independently within their own homes. The grant funds essential adaptations such as accessible bathrooms, stair lifts and ramps. According to the report connected to the new policy, the Disabled Facilities Grant Policy 2025 to 2030 addresses evolving challenges including increased demand for adaptations, budgetary constraints and stagnant grant allocations, rising cost of construction and adaptation works and recommendations from a recent internal audit. Councillor Susan White raised a suggestion on behalf of Councillor Danny Lee that military compensation not being included in income means testing when it comes to grants. Simon Hendy, Strategic Director at Winchester City Council, said, "We are aware of the motion in terms of disregarding military compensation for those injured as part of means testing. There would be financial implications to disregarding compensation, and that is not something we've been able to advise members on at the moment, and we do want to do our due diligence going forward." The committee agreed to adopt the policy.
Thank you, Jackie. Iconic Friends of King Alfred Buses free rides. A historic bus charity has announced the dates of its 2026 running days. The Winchester-based charity Friends of King Alfred Buses will kick off the new year by offering free rides around the city in their iconic King Alfred buses. The charity is encouraging people to ride the buses on New Year's Day. James Freeman, chairman of FOKAB, said, "We have the city more or less to ourselves on January the 1st, bus-wise, with just the Blue Star 1 operating, giving its regular connections all day and from Southampton via Chandler's Ford. So, we have evolved a pattern where our service is running regular frequencies along the main roads. Romsey Road, Stockbridge Road, Andover Road and Worthy Road all have schedules designed to make them easy for local people to use to travel in and out of the city. Once again, FOKAB has joined forces with the Provincial Society to provide a special free service, Route 69 to Fareham, connecting to and from the Ale and Ride event at Fareham and Gosport. The charity will have up to 8 King Alfred vehicles in service for guest vehicles will also be available for rides, courtesy of their owners. The buses are all pre-war vintage, with the oldest being kept out of the winter weather. All rides, excluding Blue Star 1, will be free of charge. The free buses will depart from the north side of the Broadway, outside St John's Rooms. Details of all journeys will be available in a special souvenir programme, purchasable on the day for £6 at the FOKAB stall beside the Guildhall. The programme can also be ordered in advance online or by post for £7, including postage. To order, visit FOKAB's online shop at kingalfredbuses.org or send a cheque to FOKAB at 2 Highcroft Road, Winchester, SO22 5GJ. FOKAB is an all-volunteer charity and welcomes new members. Those interested in joining can visit the stall in the Broadway on the running day to fill out an application form. Looking ahead to 2026, the original King Alfred Winchester running day is set to take place on Bank Holiday May the 4th. This is the main event of the year and is expected to feature as many of the 50 vehicles with a wide variety of operations across the local area. The third event of the year will be on September the 13th, 2026, when FOKAB's collection of old and very old buses will run in support of the Winchester Heritage Open Days. Deborah, please.
I have a photograph here of a group of people in the High Street in Winchester with holding posters, and amongst them is somebody dressed very elegantly as a partridge, also carrying a poster. Animal activists took to the streets of Winchester to campaign against the shooting of pheasants and partridges for sport. The event was organised by Animal Aid, a UK-wide organisation which focuses on animal rights issues, with activists from across the area coming together to speak to members of the public on Wednesday, October the 29th. Fiona Pereira, campaign manager for Animal Aid, said, "We are here to raise awareness of the cruelty of the shooting industry, which raises pheasants and partridges to be shot. We're here to talk about the damage that the up to 60 million birds raised for shooting do when they are released into the environment to be shot. It has an impact on local birds who have to compete for resources. We have got a petition for people to sign calling for a ban on bird shooting. We're asking people in Winchester to sign up. The majority of people are against the shooting of animals for entertainment. We know that most people are on our side, and we're asking people to get active in our campaign. We had our anti-shooting week of action in October, and this is just capping it off. This is part of that week. We had the partridge costume in the office, so we thought we'd come and speak with people about the campaign. Daria Craparo was wearing a pheasant costume to draw attention to the campaigners. She said, "I'm local to this area, and I know about the shooting issues, and I feel it's a local concern, not just a national concern." Fleur Disney, one of the other campaigners, said, "It's been a fantastic day already. People do not like animal cruelty. And although the shooting industry calls shooting natural, the reality is anything but. We've had a great response from the public today, and we're really keen to push this petition through Parliament to get a ban in place. It's like factory farming meets blood sports, and it's time to end it." Mary Windibank, 75, travelled from Southampton to promote the campaign. She said, "I think it's completely inhuman. We should not be killing birds at all. I've been against it all my life. What's the point of raising birds just to be shot?" More information about Animal Aid and its campaigns can be found on its website.
Thank you, Deborah. I'm sure one of those must have been a pheasant plucker. Ooh. Richard, please.
I'm not the pheasant plucker. I'm the pheasant plucker's
No!
Farm Shop is on a roll for Baking Week. A Farm Shop has marked National Baking Week with a celebration of home baking. Weston's Farm Shop hosted the event at their Winchester High Street store to mark the occasion and showcase the value of using fresh local ingredients. Natasha Dochniak, commercial manager at Hampshire Fair, a non-profit membership organisation championing the city, counting the county's exceptional food, and Hampshire Chronicle editor Kimberly Barber were among the guests. Kayleigh Collett, owner of Westlands Farm Shop, said, "National Baking Week is the perfect time to celebrate what we do here at Westlands, bringing quality local ingredients to our community and encouraging people to create wonderful things in their kitchens." We were delighted to welcome Kimberly and Natasha to discuss the importance of independent high street shops like ours. Visitors sampled a selection of homemade baked goods prepared by Miss Collett and took part in discussions highlighting the importance of independent retailers to Winchester High Street and wider community. National Baking Week is a UK-wide campaign that encourages people to get creative in the kitchen and rediscover the joys of home baking, an ethos that aligns closely with the values of Westlands. The farm shop stocks products from more than 40 Hampshire producers, offering customers traceable ingredients from across the region. Weston's Farm Shop is a family-owned business rooted in ethical and sustainable farming.
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, please.
Volunteers help give trees room to breathe. A city council team has teamed up with volunteers to help trees on St Giles Hill. Seven members of the City Council Transformation Team joined the Friends of St Giles Hill Working Party to carry out important maintenance tasks. The work was part of the management plan and involved clearing unwanted vegetation such as brambles, old man's beard, and self-seeded sycamore from around 100 native trees. These trees, including species like hawthorn, apple, and buckthorn, were supplied by Winchester City Council and planted by volunteers in December 2023. The aim is to help the trees, which are now approaching their second birthday, to thrive by removing the competition around them. The work was a boost for the trees, which are now well established. Harry Mycock, chair of the Friends of St Giles Hill Park, was delighted that the Friends and the Council could continue to cement their relationship.
Thank you, Jackie. Dental practice set to hold open day. Oliver's Battery Dental Surgery will hold an open day to help people find NHS dental care. The event on Saturday, November the 8th, will offer people one-off appointments in response to the ongoing NHS dental care crisis. The practice says the appointments will treat urgent symptoms and are available to people who have been struggling to find regular NHS treatment. A spokesperson for the practice said, "Supporting our local residents in this way is a key priority for us, and we are proud to play our part. The issue of dental access has been a growing problem in Hampshire for a number of years amid a national crisis in NHS care. Patients in so-called dental deserts around the country have often had to attend A&E for urgent care, being forced to take private options where possible, and even resorting to home dentistry. Anyone interested in taking up one of the appointments should attend the surgery on the Saturday to provide their details. The surgery will then book appointments to address the specific dental problem. However, it should be noted that these are one-off appointments for urgent dental issues. The practice, based in Oliver's Battery Road, South Winchester, says details will not be taken over the phone. You must attend in person." Deborah, please.
Choir to end its 2025 concert series with two performances. A choir is gearing up for two performances to end its 2025 concert series. Southern Voices will perform Songs of Farewell on Saturday, November the 8th in St Paul's Church, Full Flood, Winchester. The concert, held on the eve of Remembrance Sunday, will feature two great choral works: Hubert Parry's Songs of Farewell, inspired by personal grief for the loss of so many of Parry's young students in the First World War, and selected movements from Ian Venable's Requiem, which is an important new work for choir and organ accompaniment. Second concert, Christmas with Southern Voices, takes place on Saturday, December 13th in the Chapel of St Cross, Winchester. The festive performance will include Poulenc's four motets for Christmas time and a selection of Christmas carols. Tickets and more information can be found on the Southern Voices website or by calling 0333 666 3366, and booking fees will apply.
Thank you, Deborah. Richard, please.
Delighted to be back in business after the fire. A restaurant in Winchester will be focusing on events and catering after closing following a fire. Forte Kitchen in Parchment Street closed in July 2024 after an electrical fire forced the business to close the hatch downstairs, as well as the upstairs dining and events rooms. After reopening in early October, owners Ollie and Naomi Biggs are now focusing on the events and catering side of the business as they continue to operate out of the upstairs room, the Black Room, where they serve drinks, brunch and cakes. Co-owner Naomi said, "It's been a roller coaster, but it's really nice to see the room back open again. We've had so much lovely feedback and support. It was a shock, but we were lucky that the fire was spotted and dealt with early. We're used to having to adopt a change, like through COVID, and we would have left years ago if we weren't so passionate about giving people a good experience. There's been a crazy change in hospitality over the years, and I'm worried for what's to come, as small and medium businesses are getting hurt the most. That's why we reopened. We want to focus more on restaurant and service-led approach. Events and catering has been very successful for us, and that's where we want to continue. This is to show people what we can do."
Thank you, Richard. Jackie, you got the last piece of news for us, please.
Yeah, it's only November, but Pop-Up Shop is wishing us all a blingy Christmas. The Pop-Up Christmas Shop has returned to Winchester with plenty of decorations for the festive season. Graham Budd and Mandy Chalk, also known as Mr. and Mrs. Claus, have been hard at work setting up their Christmas store for the ninth year in the Brooks Shopping Centre. With help from friends and family, they have opened their doors once more with a plethora of new Christmas and non-Christmas products. Located between the Nail Salon, Mooey's and HMV, Mr. and Mrs. Santa Claus Christmas pop-up store have experienced a good flow of both regular and new faces since opening on Saturday, November the 1st. This year, Blingy Christmas is in, according to owner Mandy, with a collection of brand new flashy and shiny ornaments, have made their way onto shelves alongside the usual beloved favourites. Mandy said, "Since opening, we've had a lovely and positive response to the shop. The Christmas shop is open weekdays 10 a.m. until 5 p.m, Saturdays 9 a.m. until 6 p.m, and on Sundays it is open 10 a.m. to 4:30 p.m.
Thank you, Jackie. Well, I'm sorry to say that's all we have for you this week. Before we go, another reminder that if you have any problems with your recording, the contact number is on the key fob attached to your memory stick. Now, would you please put the memory stick and the address label in the wallet when you've finished with it and return it to us as soon as possible? Well, thanks to all our support teams for the preparation and dispatch of this edition. And, of course, many thanks to our readers, Deborah.
Bye.
Richard.
Bye-bye.
Jackie.
Bye-bye.
And from me, Peter. Until the next time, goodbye.